Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Message today comes from the epistle reading that you heard from Philippians, starting in verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. This is God's Word. It was kind of you to share my trouble. This is what Paul wrote in his letter to this church in Philippi. Have you ever stopped to consider what he meant by these words? Might he have received a sympathy card while in prison? Maybe it was signed by everybody at the church. Might he have learned that they prayed for him each time that they met? Or maybe they sent messengers to him, letting him know that they were keeping him in their thoughts. And what do you think? And does it really even matter? See, it matters because it relates, I think, directly to the tradition that we are preparing for this very evening. You see, tomorrow we'll gather with family, maybe even with close friends. We'll share with each other our lives, our experiences, our joys, and maybe even our frustrations and struggles. And we'll do this because we have a connection to them in some way. It might be through heritage. It might be through marriage or friendship. But it will be a connection nonetheless. And what I mean to say is this. There will be no one gathered in this group around your table that is really, truly an outsider. Everybody will have a connection to somebody else that is there. Fiance might be there because he or she will be obviously connected to the person that he or she will be marrying. You get the idea. The point I'm trying to make is simply this. The group that assembles together in your home shares in some fundamental commonality. There is something that they have in common. And so it makes sense then that they're together. So we can turn back to Paul. And we can look at him there in prison when he wrote this letter to the congregation. And we can assume that he's not thanking them for a generic Hallmark card that wished him the best of luck while he was incarcerated. What connection did he have with these people? It may be more revealing. What would cause them to want to share in his trouble? And even more revealing, what does it mean that they did in fact share in his trouble? Now, before I answer that, I want to throw another log onto this conversation. The ESV translates this Greek word as share. But other translations use different phrases. One uses to take part in, or even to have fellowship with, as their English phrase. Is this translation difference significant? Probably not. But these alternatives do offer a different facet in which to view Paul's letter. Consider these alternatives to this sentence. The sentence that it was kind for them to share in his troubles. Listen to how this would be translated one way or the other. It was kind of you to take part in my troubles. Or, it was kind of you to have fellowship in my troubles. See, either of these statements tend to more personalize his message to the congregation, doesn't it? It's kind of you to have fellowship in my troubles. You see, it seems to emphasize the fact that they're not sending cheap sympathy cards or empty promises of prayer. They're finding fellowship. They're sharing in his troubles. And whatever that means, it means more than superficial sentiments. And so our connection or our question tonight is this: what does Paul mean? And how can we apply it to our own lives? And the key to this question is connection. How do we view ourselves as connected to others, especially others who are in need? Now, this might be a very easy question to answer tomorrow when you are surrounded by your loved ones or people that are connected to your loved ones. But that's not who Paul was speaking about. You see, these are people that probably wouldn't be counted among his attendees at any Thanksgiving feast because they're not his close family. These are people who are gathered together because of someone else besides him. You see, the connection that he has to these people, well, it's different. The world might call it superficial, but clearly he would disagree. For his letter is passionate about the connection that exists between him and them. And so, if we reject any suggestion that the world might proffer, that this is superficial, and instead adopt Paul's view, that this is anything but superficial, we're still left with this unanswered question. Why would these people, some of whom don't even know him personally, some who had not even met him, want to share, have fellowship in his suffering? Now, a possible answer might be found in the account of a lady called Corrie ten Boom. Now, she was a Christian who had worked with her family to help many Jewish people escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust by hiding them in her home. Now, eventually her family was caught, arrested, placed into the same concentration camps that other Jewish people were placed into. And while she was there, while she was detained, she organized prayer gatherings. She read passages from the Gospels. Eventually, she was released. But she continued to serve others in remarkable ways. And if you're interested, you can look her up. It's very easy to find information about her. But her story offers an answer to the question we asked about Paul and the congregation. Why would people share in suffering of others? And what might it even mean for them to find fellowship in that suffering? Now, the first place that we can locate an answer is in the confinement of Corrie ten Boom. To those she served, she didn't just meet them where they were at. She joined them. She became the prisoner that they had become, and she shared in the very real sufferings of these people. She knew what it was like to feel hunger. She knew what it was like to fear for her life. And she knew what it was like to face death. And yet, through all of this, she became a light to these people. She brought hope to these people who were suffering. And they could look to her with confidence that she understood what they were going through, because she was experiencing it herself. And so they could share in her suffering as well as each other's sufferings. Or maybe a better phrase, they could find fellowship in their sufferings because they suffered together. So even after the war, after they were freed, whenever news would reach the ears of any of the survivors that one of them was suffering, they all suffered. So the account here of Corrie ten Boom offers us an understanding of how people can share in and even find fellowship in the sufferings of others. But it still doesn't answer the why for Paul in the church in Philippi. They didn't have a shared experience like Corrie did. So what motivated them? The answer, of course, is Jesus. And it's in two different ways that he is the answer that we're searching for tonight. First, Jesus entered into the world as a human. He experienced everything that you and I and any other person experienced at that time. He felt hunger. He felt fear. And he also, of course, felt the weight that sin had placed on the world. He understood his mission. And it was to take upon himself all of the sin and bear the wrath of punishment from God for it. And he knew that this would subject him to excruciating physical and spiritual pain. And he knew that it would have to give up his life in the process. And he did all of that. And he did it willingly. And he did it obediently. What this means is because he entered into creation as man, and because he experienced all of this, we too now can have confidence when he says that he understands the pain that we are going in, that we're going through. He can trust, or we can trust, that he really gets it. Because he experienced it here on earth. You see, we have fellowship with him through shared suffering, both his and ours. And this fellowship exists not just between Jesus and us, but it also exists between us and each other. Just like Corrie ten Boom shared in the sufferings of those around her, even though they were not close to her, even those who were in different concentration camps, who only learned about her after the war, they still shared. They considered fellowship with her, just as they did with everyone else who similarly suffered. And this is what Paul means when he speaks about this very topic. We all share in each other's sufferings. Why? Because we are connected to Jesus. And because we are connected to Jesus, we share in his suffering. And this becomes our common connection, our common experience. And it becomes the reason that we are motivated and able even to find fellowship in the sufferings and experiences of one another. But that's just the first way that Jesus is the answer to this question. The second is similar, but it's much richer. And it's this: in baptism, we are connected to Jesus in a very personal way. Not only do we share in his suffering, we also share in his death and his resurrection. We dwell in Jesus. He dwells in us. The Bible likes to say that Jesus is the head and we are the body. And you see, this highlights the intimate connection that we have with him, as well as the intimate connection we have with each other. See, baptism is how we are able to share in the sufferings of Jesus. And it's how we're able to share in the sufferings of other Christians, even if we don't personally know them. In baptism, we come into fellowship with each other through Jesus. And so, as you gaze around your table tomorrow evening, consider your fellowship with each one of them. Consider how you share in each other's sufferings. It may not look anything like the shared suffering of Corrie ten Boom, but don't dismiss it. Maybe it is the childhood that you and your siblings experienced. Maybe it's just recognizing the emotional distress that a loved one is going through. Whatever it is, know that because of your connection with them through Jesus, you can share in that suffering. Because you are part of the body of Christ. So you are able to share in their sufferings just as Jesus shares in yours. Please pray with me. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of your word which you have spoken to us through your servant Paul. We thank you for the example of the Philippians who found fellowship in Paul's troubles and supported him even from a distance. Help us, O Lord, to follow their footsteps and to share in the lives of other Christians in our own families, our own communities, and across the world. In your name we pray. Amen.